and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh, Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy. Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not.
Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
And good evening. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lance, Trevor Valise. Still filling in for Derek Piper, who's enjoying little Cade Piper. He's almost like a week. Is he a week old now?
Yeah.
He's a week?
Early this morning, right?
That's a big... What am I trying to say? Why can't I say anything today?
Milestone.
That's it. Thank you. It's a big milestone to get to that 1 week old of Cade Piper. So congratulations. I'm assuming like at some point he's going to be like, okay, I'm itching to get back on air.
At some point he's probably going to think that it's no longer a reason not to be here, but instead a reason not to be home is to come here.
Yes.
For 2 hours.
Yeah, because I mean, I love my kids, but I couldn't wait to get away from them. No, I'm kidding. You know that. Kind of. All right, it is time to head back to the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. We just visited with Jack Keffer, play-by-play, voice of the Memphis Redbirds. Great to get his perspective. And now we're going to visit with Jeff Jones. You can follow him on Twitter, at JM Jones. Jeff with the Belleville News Democrat paper, and he covers the Cardinals. Jeff, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, guys? We're doing okay, staying dry.
I saw that picture of the ribs in Kansas City, and immediately... I had to have ribs that night, so thanks a lot, Jeff.
You know, my fun story about that, I went to Kansas City Joe's, used to be Oklahoma Joe's there on 47th Street in Kansas City, and ordered the three ribs plus one meat combo, got the pulled pork,
ooh.
And I happened to have on a T-shirt I bought at the Negro League Hall of Fame Museum a couple of years ago, and the guy at the register said, I like that shirt, and then I picked up my food and had four ribs and some pulled
whoa!
Pork on there. So,
boom! That's, well, hey, that's something you need to wear
pretty
more often.
Pretty big win.
Pretty big win. Hey, the Negro League Hall of Fame, that is, I've always said, I've never been to Kansas City, which is weird. I don't want you to think I'm somebody that just only goes within 50 miles of my home base. I've been to a lot of different places, but I've never been to Kansas City, and that is one of those things. Mike Claiborne and I were talking about that. That is one of those things on my to-do list. How cool is that museum?
It's tremendous. It's honestly as good as you've heard that it is, it's even better.
Awesome.
So massively worth it, and you know, any chance to get in Kansas City. In fact, that was would have been on my list of things to do yesterday had the game not gotten pushed up to noon. So that was what was happening until it wasn't. So I was a little disappointed to miss out on it, but definitely go if you ever have the opportunity.
That's awesome. We're talking Cardinals baseball with Jeff Jones. 10 runs yesterday. What happened there?
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting game yesterday because, you know, the Royals starter, Chris Bubich, is the guy that they've struggled a little bit trying to get him going and has thrown five shutouts in his previous start and got all those five batters on Wednesday afternoon before they went to the bullpen. So, you know, I mean, they know more about how to handle their pitching staff certainly than I do, but it seemed like an awfully, awfully quick pull unless they were seeing something that they were really discouraged by. So, you know, once you have that going, I think that with the with the rain coming in, it was definitely going to be a day where things were going to kind of get rushed through a little bit. And
right.
So Adam Wainwright was in full control. And, you know, the Cardinals got to the bullpen on the back end as well. So it was definitely the sort of day they needed with an offense that's been pretty well snoozing here lately.
No doubt.
Jeff, one guy who was not a part.
Uh-oh, Jeff, you're in trouble here.
Of
get
those
ready.
10 runs. I was just innocently scrolling Twitter, and I see a wonderful tweet from you. It says, Albert Pujols says he's going to do some damage.
Yeah.
Write it down, Jeff. And so I'm like, well, okay, that should be interesting. I'll put $10 on Albert to hit a home run or something today. And then he goes 0 for 4. What the heck, Jeff?
Trevor can't eat.
What I would say is that I'm here to relay facts only, and I'm not responsible for the impact of those facts on your bankroll. I'm also told that it's important to hedge, right? Bet within your means. I'm not really an expert, but, you know, I'm not told those things are important. And look, in Albert's defense, he both broke a picture frame and a bat yesterday, so damage was done.
That's awesome.
Touché. Yeah.
Trevor has not eaten now for 3 days because of that. But other than that, don't worry about it, Jeff. Let's stay on Albert Pujols real quick. You know, he's a guy that obviously he's had a couple of home runs. He looks still the same to me when it comes to a threat at the plate. I know it's way, way early in the season here, but what do you like or what are you looking for in Albert Pujols now in this role that he's playing with the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think that Pujols got off to a really hot start the first couple of weeks of the season or so, and I think over the last couple of weeks you've seen maybe a little bit of coming back to earth, and I think also when you look at the splits and what he is doing against lefties and is not doing against righties, you're sort of seeing the guy that they thought they were going to have. You know, maybe the first 10 games or so of the season, you're looking at Pujols, you're looking at Corey Dickerson, and you're going, well, maybe they're better off with Pujols taking more of those at-bats against righties than we anticipated. I'm not sure that that's the case. Tonight, for example, you're seeing Juan Yepes in there at DH against an opener for the Giants. So, you know, who knows how the bullpen will get used there for the remainder of that game. But I think if the Cardinals deploy Pujols in a way that, you know, is judicious, I guess, you know, so if we're talking about, say, 10 at-bats a week or so, they're going to be able to get a lot out of him.
That's fair. Jeff Jones on Twitter, at JM Jones. Jeff, I always try to be the creative guy that asks cool questions and takes you in different spots that maybe you weren't thinking you were going, but then there's Paul DeJong not hitting, and I feel like I've got to ask the question. I love the kid. I really do. He's an Illinois State guy, so he's from our area. I've rooted for, you know, hard for him to be the guy at shortstop. We've seen him in the past do some amazing things, and obviously defensively he's solid. He had a great play that started a double play the other day with the bases loaded there in Kansas City. You were there to see that. But, man, he just cannot get it going. And how long do you sit and wait for that to happen, or do you need to do something different?
I think the way that they're going through this with Paul DeJong right now has been very interesting because the rhetoric has gotten really dialed up. I don't know what else could be said that hasn't been said yet.
Exactly.
We need to produce. We need to see it soon. It needs to happen. This is a production league. We're getting all of that from all corners of the leadership with the Cardinals. So there really isn't anything left to do except to do it, right? To figure out what a roster spot looks like. I do think there have been some things happening over the last 10 days or so that maybe turned the temperature down a little. For example, when you have Tommy Edman, who was dealing with some tightness in his left hip flexor, I don't think that probably is the time that the Cardinals were going to be eager to move him from second base to shortstop. You know, DeJong had the game. It was either the big game in St. Louis or the first game in KC. I forget where he had a couple of hits, including a double, and, you know, looked okay in that game. You mentioned the strong defensive plays. You know, you look at a team that is at present, you know, dealing with what they hope is a very minor outbreak of COVID in the clubhouse. So there is a little bit of that going on. You add all of that up on top of the fact that, you know, Gorman is striking out at something like a 35% rate at AAA. There are things working against it. And I do think it is defensible to not make the move to Gorman quite yet.
Okay.
But I don't know how long that's going to hold out. Because you're right. Like, you look at the offensive numbers from Paul DeJong, they're just not there. You know, there's really no way to slice it outside of he's not hitting. He hasn't really hit in something like 3 years.
Right.
You can talk about the COVID season. You can talk about the broken rib. But at some point, he's going to hit or he's not going to hit. And so far this season, he has not.
That's fair.
Jeff, break it down a little bit more with Gorman there where, you know, I know a lot of the fans are clamoring just because he's, you know, it's sort of like the backup quarterback is always the most popular person, and for good reason when he's leading all of organized baseball and home runs or whatever. But how I know it's a tricky question, but how long do you think, you know, they put up with what's here now? Say the offense continues to still struggle. When do you think you see a guy like Gorman finally get that call? Because we were talking earlier, I don't really think you bring him up to then send him back down at some point. So when do you think they pull a trigger on a guy like Gorman? And you know, someone else like Matthew Liberatore has been really good in AAA as well.
Well, so I guess to start with Liberatore, that's the easier place to start because the answer there is he's probably the next man up. You know, if something were to happen to any of the five starters, I think Liberatore is the guy they would turn to. It's just a matter of they have, you know, four healthy full-time starters plus Jordan Hicks. They're working into this spot here, so there's not really a spot for Liberatore.
Sure.
But I do think he'd be the guy they would turn to if they needed someone for, say, you know, three, four turns through the rotation. In terms of Gorman, you know, if you told me that he would be at Busch Stadium on Tuesday, I would not be remotely surprised.
Wow.
If you told me that he didn't get, but, if you told me he didn't get to the majors until June 1st, I also would not be surprised. I really don't have any idea how to handicap that because it's, you know, like I mentioned before, the way that they're treating DeJong feels so strange to me in the extent to which they're willing to be openly critical. Without really doing anything different has been odd. Now, you know, Edmundo Sosa obviously is out right now, and before being out, I think was something along the lines of 4-for-25 with 12 strikeouts on the season. So it's not like Sosa was pushing the issue either. So, you know, it makes sense that DeJong got a nice long run at it. But, you know, the thing with Gorman, and Ali Marmol compared him to Harrison Bader the other day, and his point was, when Bader came up, he didn't hit that well. However, Bader does have that elite defensive skill that keeps him on the field. And, you know, we all remember when Colton Wong came up and struggled to hit for a while, but had the elite defensive skill. Gorman doesn't have elite defensive skill. I think if you said today that Nolan Gorman was a competent second baseman, you would probably be being a little bit kind.
Okay.
He's learning, right? And part of learning is that there are going to be some hiccups. And if Gorman is playing second and Edmund is playing short, then you're talking about some changes to the defense that are going to be on Edmund's shoulder.
No doubt.
You know, if Gorman comes up and goes 0-for-7 or 0-for-12, which is not outside the realm of possibility for a guy adjusting to the big league, then what do you have? And does it do them any good to bring him here? And maybe he goes, you know, 2-for-14 in a week, and then what are you looking at?
Now, right.
The upside of that is, what if you bring him here and he goes 6-for-14 and hits 4 homers, then hey, that was shot, right? So you weigh those things out, and the Cardinals at the moment are weighing it out in such a way that the defense that they're getting from DeJong, they think is more valuable than the upside of what they're getting from Gorman. I don't know how long, but that's going to hold up.
All right, great answer, Jeff. Great information. Another guy learning out there is Ali Marmol, obviously in his first year with as manager in the bigs and with the Cardinals. How have you kind of characterized his start as manager of this team? What are you thinking of that, Jeff?
I think it's been strong. I think that the way that he handles himself and the way that he handles his messaging has been a pretty big change for this team and a welcome big change, to be frank. And I think, too, that, you know, he's looking for buttons to push, and there are only so many. He mentioned to us on Tuesday night in Kansas City, he was asked if he was thinking about, you know, shaking things up with the offense, and he said, sure, but I don't really know what that looks like yet. Now, we know now it looks like moving Tyler O'Neill from the third spot in the lineup to the sixth spot in the lineup, and that created production. You look at tonight, and it's still Arenado hitting third, O'Neill's back to hitting fourth, and Yepes, who, you know, came up and had the strong debut, is right back in there as a DH tonight. So I think we're seeing him be willing to press the right buttons. And also, you know, when they made the decision to cut the roster down to 26, and that included designating Aaron Brooks for assignment, because Brooks was a guy who you couldn't just send to the minors. Marmol said that decision was based on performance. And said, you know, if a guy is not performing and gets to stay because other guys have options, what does that say in the clubhouse? Now, that gets harder to maintain when the numbers in the contracts go up and the service time gets a little deeper, but that was a pretty strong message, especially from a first-year manager.
Tyler O'Neill, I hate that I have you on, and here I'm just badgering all the bad that's happened, although certainly we've talked good about Nolan and Ali, et cetera. I mean, I could easily visit with you about Nolan Arenado, who's just unbelievable right now. But Tyler O'Neill, 202, which, I'm old school guy. I love that batting average stat that nobody else does anymore. But two home runs, does it worry you? Does it worry the Cardinals? You just mentioned about him kind of lowering down in the order, maybe take some thoughts or some stress a little bit off him at the plate. Is it worrying you about Tyler, or do you just feel like, you know, he's going to catch a groove one of these days and take off?
Yeah, it honestly isn't worrying me yet because, you know, batting average is one number. If you want to look at a slightly more, a slightly newer school, more progressive, however you want to talk about it, number. Tyler O'Neill is, I believe, leading the club in barrel percentage.
Okay.
Which is to say he's making the most reliable hard contact of anybody on the club. And you know, the strikeout rate, it's high. He's always going to be a high strikeout rate guy, but it's not like it was when he was still sort of establishing himself. So there's a little bit of not great batted ball work going on with O'Neill. I think he's going to figure it out. And, you know, and Tyler, too, has been asked about this, and he said it's not an issue, and he's been insistent about it. At the same time, the salary arbitration hearing is set to take place in the next couple of days here. I have to imagine that's at least a thing that's happening in the back of his head. So let's get past the arb hearing and then see what it looks like. Because I do think that O'Neill is there a chance that last year ends up being a career year for Tyler O'Neill? There is, absolutely. He had MVP votes last year. He hit .280. He hit 33 homers. But at the same time, he hit a lot of those homers in September, and he came on really strong at the end. And there were stretches in June, July, where he kind of looked like the hitter that we're seeing right now, where the ball's getting in play. There are some productive outs, but it wasn't the reliable slugger that you saw down the stretch. So I think this is just sort of the hitter he is. He might go in fits and starts a little bit, but at the end of the year, you're going to look at the numbers and go, yeah, that looks pretty good.
There you go. Jeff Jones, excellent stuff as always. Follow Jeff on Twitter at JM Jones. Always appreciate your time, Jeff. Thank you so much, my man.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.
Okay, buddy. Thank you. That is Jeff Jones, Belleville News Democrat. That paper, of course, down in southern Illinois over near St. Louis, Belleville area, of course.
He didn't crack.
He didn't.
I really tried.
Are you going to, does this change your tune?
About how upset I get?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. But
okay.
It actually just elevates my opinion of Jeff.
I see what you're saying.
He had enough content that he didn't have to immediately go to that.
Well, he went deep into that Nolan Gorman thing.
He did.
I mean, he really, those are two. I really feel like this has been a fun day because I know it's the Cardinals. I know I'm a Cardinals fan. I know half of our listeners are Cubs fans, and I get that. Nolan Gorman has been such a big topic in not only Cardinals fans in that realm, but also baseball in general. I mean, just if you turn on MLB Network, I saw they were showing a stat of him the other day, and I'm like, well, if they're talking about that on MLB Network, then obviously this is something that people everywhere are understanding that what he's doing. So I thought that'd be cool to get Jack and Jeff and talk about that, which was really cool today. I would love to get someone on to explore the Cubbies minor league system. I mean, there's got to be people down there that I know our boy Austin Berkland is really down on the Cubs right now. I mean, he is really down on the Cubs. And I get it. Like, it's never easy to understand that your team's not going to have a great year. But I don't know. Like, you know, they started off pretty well. And then, of course, they ran into the Pirates, that juggernaut. And it seems like they've shifted now back the other way in a bad way. And what is the future for the Cubbies? Or where are we at? That's the weird thing right now. Like, sometimes you know in an identity of a team to where you're like, well, look, they've got a lot of guys in AAA. They're shredding payroll. Here in the next couple of years, those kids will be up like they did on their run to the World Series. Right now, I don't understand where the Cubs are.
That's the problem.
There's no, like, identity.
I don't have an answer for you. It's sort of that, the dreaded purgatory of a sports franchise.
That where, 20th pick in the NFL draft.
Right, exactly. Where you're going, 8-8 or maybe even less than that, 6-10 every year.
Yep.
You're not great, but you're not awful.
Right.
That's what they are right now. I mean, I don't think people say, the Seiya Suzuki signing, that doesn't make sense if they were trying to tank or something. But I'll disagree with that because I think they got him at a very reasonable price.
No doubt.
for 5 years.
Yes.
And obviously he's really good.
Yeah.
You need something to bring people to the stadium. Otherwise, you're going to be the Oakland A's, who literally have no one coming to their games right now.
Nobody.
And I'm not saying you need to go support the Ricketts, because they haven't really shaped this franchise the way people would have hoped they would after that World Series. So I'm not just being a homer and saying they need someone to put butts in the seats and you should go support them. But
yeah.
But I don't have a problem with the Suzuki signing, even if it seems counterintuitive to what they want to do.
Okay.
Only because you have to have something, and I thought it was a good deal. Like, you're not going to turn down a great price on a potential superstar just because you think, well, this year I'd rather lose 110 games and totally hit the reset button.
Exactly.
But I don't know. I mean, Jason Hayward is a giant sunk cost right now. Kyle Hendricks is not anything what he used to be.
No.
The rotation in general is just not very good. You got a few good prospects, Brennan Davis being your top prospect. He's a top 50 prospect.
Okay.
He's in AAA. But no one's talking about him like they are Gorman.
Right.
I mean, he could come up and be a very good player, but I don't think anyone has superstar cap on his potential ceiling. They got Pete Crow Armstrong. He's the guy from the Mets that they got for Javi.
Ah.
He's a top 100-ish prospect, but he's still in Class A.
Oh.
So, I mean, the ETA on him is 2.5 years from now.
Well, of course, Horner and Hap, these guys are still young.
They are, but, I mean, Hap's contract is up after next season.
Wow.
So he's not that young.
That's true.
And Horner and Madrigal are both sort of in that mold of contact hitters who play good defense, but they're not going to be the guy hitting fourth in your lineup.
Right.
There's a lot of work to do.
Can I go down a path here that I have done, I want to say, about once every 6 months in my career here at SJ Broadcasting, to where I'm going to say something and nobody's going to understand where I'm going with this, so I'm going to need you to kind of round it out at the end. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. In today's day and age of social media, immediate satisfaction kind of thing, I'm not one of those people that necessarily rips on certain generations. Like, for instance, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, you young people, you need instant gratification, and if you don't get it, then you're blah, blah, blah. I'm just not going to do that. I don't have the time to fret about that. I get mad about other things, right? So, but here's my thought. When I was your age, we didn't get to see the Cardinals every night. Like, you just didn't. It wasn't like that. So if the Cardinals were right now, what's the Cubs record right now?
9-15.
Okay. If the Cardinals were 9-15, yeah, you were upset. You were disappointed. They were 9-15. But in your mind, you kept checking the paper the next day to see what guys are hitting. And, hey, well, we've got the Padres coming up, and they're not very good. Tony Gwynn's hurt. Maybe we can go on a 3-game winning streak and get back into it. And so you kind of, in a weird way, you kind of kept the premise of, okay, well, hold on, you know, let's June roll around, get hot, and hopefully my team gets hot and go from there. Do you feel like, because when you said that, and this could easily be me just on an island. By the way, have you ever heard of that Snake Island off of Brazil?
No.
Where nobody's allowed to go. There's
no.
Literally like 8 snakes per square foot. Or like every foot is like 8 snakes.
I thought you were talking about like a reality TV show.
No. But anyway, it's not like I could easily be on this island with this thinking, but you just said the Cubs are 9-15. And I thought to myself, like, if I were a Cubs fan right now, if this was the Cardinals at 9-15, knowing what I know about the Cubs, right? I immediately would be like, I'm just have no interest in baseball this season. Is that because we are inundated with stats? We're inundated with stuff to where we just know, right? You just know that the Cubs are not going to win the division this year. There's nothing's going to catch lightning in a bottle for this Cubs team all of a sudden. And I'm just, so what I'm thinking about to myself is just like, if the Cardinals were 9-15 and I was looking at their team and they really, you know, they didn't have Goldie, they didn't have Arenado, I'd probably just be sitting here going, this is going to be a ridiculously bad summer of watching baseball. I don't think I was ever like that in the past. But now it's almost as though within 3 weeks, I know whether my favorite team of whatever sport is going to be good or bad. And then I just basically tell myself, well, no need to pay attention much this year.
So you're arguing that the overexposure
is making it that much easier to just ignore it.
Yeah.
Is that?
No,
that was really dumb.
No, probably. I think you're right. I don't. And what the funny part, too,
I think you could believe, like, in other words, back in the day before I knew that Paul Goldschmidt, you know, his exit velocity was this off the bat, and he's always hit this team great, and, oh, look out, because they're going on a road trip to Pittsburgh, and he's always, you know, he's batting career 600 hitter. We didn't know all that crap back then.
Right.
So I think it was easier to believe back
Ignorance
then.
Is bliss.
Yeah, to just kind of think, well, you know what? George Hendrick could get hot this week. Andre Dawson's always done well against the Atlanta Braves. Maybe he could get hot. And now you're like, now you look at it and be like, oh, now, you know what? Andre Dawson is a career 180 hitter against the Braves. He wasn't. He was a stud, by the way. But it's so now you're like, oh, well, you know what? Now he's not even going to have a good series.
Yeah. And I think that the funny part about that, at least to me, is that through COVID, me, along with pretty much everyone else, said, you know, what I wouldn't give to watch the Pirates and the Marlins play yep. nine innings right now. I will never, ever not be grateful to watch a Cubs baseball game again.
Great
and
point.
Here I am just immediately sunk right back into. Or, you know, when the Blues won and you said, I'll never complain. Not that I bought it, but saying I'll never complain about a sporting event again.
And a week later, I was texting you yelling about something.
It was Illinois-Wisconsin, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to get philosophical on me, I think
you remember that.
That's an interesting observation.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
So are you arguing that you would rather have no information and be blissfully unaware of the fact that Paul Goldschmidt hits 100
right.
and just enjoy the at-bat? Because I'd still feel like I had FOMO if I didn't know everything.
Okay, no.
Like, I'm one of those people that I can't do the thing you do where you DVR the game and watch it later.
Yeah, you can't.
I can't stand not knowing that the Cubs hit a walk-off grand slam until 6 hours later when no one else is around to celebrate with me. I need to know it when it's happening.
It is true. I mean, it's almost as though you're asking, like, times were so much simpler before cell phones. I kid you not. Believe me when I say that. But if you told me right now, all right, Lon, you have the power to hit a button. Nobody on this planet then has cell phones for the next 2 years. Would you go back to that? And I'd be like, hell no. I mean, I like just, you know, all of a sudden looking down at FanDuel and making a quick bet. I mean, it's stuff like that, and that's what it's almost, you're almost asking like, all right, would you rather not know all this stuff and go back? No, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not.
That's tough.
Because, like, in a weird way, we just talked about Nolan Gorman. And because of social media, I don't literally get, like, I wouldn't, you know, I don't even know back in my day you'd have to buy a Memphis Redbird paper, probably, or you'd have to buy the Sporting News, was what it was. It was, you'd buy a Sporting News, and it would show you minor league stats. And you'd maybe get that once every 2 weeks. And so you're like, oh, well, this guy's doing really well. This Joaquin Andujar kid's doing really well, and in Louisville, that used to be the AAA. But now it's like I immediately know that Nolan Gorman just hit his 12th home run. And so immediately I'm like, well, why isn't he doing that with the Cardinals? So I don't know.
I definitely think you can take that and extrapolate it to, like, patience with coaches, too.
Yeah, true.
Like, back in the day.
Very true.
Maybe this is a bad example because I don't know that it's true, but, like, would Lou Henson have just been fired here before he, you know, they gave him, like, 8 years to get going, babe.
That's so
no
true.
No one would give you 8 years to try and turn around a program these days. Like, it wouldn't happen.
Isn't that, and there's so many examples of, like, a college football coach that took a long time to get going. Yep. I mean, how often was Nick Saban fired?
Well, let's see, Michigan State.
The Dolphins.
Yep.
Now, you know, granted, I don't know that he ever would have worked in the NFL. We've seen plenty of examples of that. But, yeah, there's so many examples. Like, I'd be interested to know, like, Jim Boeheim, who's been at Syracuse for, what, 40 years? I don't even know.
Maybe longer.
I wonder what he did his first few years at, like, Syracuse. I know you're looking to see if we can do that now.
He went, well, his very first year, he went 26-4 and went to the Elite Eight.
Well, never mind.
So probably a bad example.
Bad example is Jim Boeheim. how about Mike Krzyzewski at Duke?
You're really going to make me type into Google Krzyzewski?
Well, look, you could probably just put Coach K.
Yeah, okay.
And then somebody from ESPN will call you and say, hey, we're doing a special on Coach K and Duke tonight. Oh, are you really?
His first year at, well, of course, at Army.
Well, by the way, I pulled up YouTube today.
Uh-huh.
One of the top things was John Shire's first Duke press conference. And I'm like, really?
Suggested for you.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, you are dead wrong on your suggestions. I'd rather watch about the island that has snakes.
This is a decent example. Okay. He went 17-15 in his first year at Duke, and they made the NIT quarterfinals.
Okay.
So that would be like Illinois losing to Alabama in the NIT.
Yeah.
The next year they went 10-17 and finished 8th in the ACC.
Ooh.
Then the next year they went 11-17 and finished 7th.
So right now he'd be gone.
Correct. Because his first 3 years would have been NIT quarterfinal, 8th place, 7th place.
Of course, back then, Duke wasn't. Now, Duke was good before Krzyzewski. I mean, in other words, they had years where they were a pretty good basketball program. It's not like he took over, you know, the most downtrodden program ever and made them into what they are. But, yeah, I mean, you look at that. What was year four?
Year four, they went to the round of 32.
Okay.
Then they went to the round of 32 again. Then they were the runner-up.
Okay.
They lost the title game in 85. So that was his sixth year that they were runner-up.
So essentially he did a Brad Underwood 2 years in a row with round of 32.
Correct. And there's another point for you. I mean, how many coaches that we look at now have been, I mean, I'm just spit like Izzo in the post. You look at it and you go like, well, Underwood needs to show something in the postseason. I don't disagree that he does.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, look at the best coaches in the country.
Yes.
When's the last time Bob Huggins made a deep run? Like 10 years ago when they were in the Final Four?
Good point.
I mean, there's a lot of really good coaches that don't make it that far until maybe once or twice.
Yeah.
Which is why you just have to keep taking swings at it.
Then you think and you're like, well, why doesn't Bill Self have more than two national titles? You know, stuff like that. But it's just hard. It's hard to win that. Can you do one more example? Because I think this one will nail it as well. Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin, who obviously has made Wisconsin football. Listen, I used to go to Memorial Stadium and watch a 3-3 tie between Wisconsin and Illinois. And now all of a sudden, Wisconsin is arguably one of the top, 15 or top 10 football programs every year. I know they don't, you know, they haven't won a national title and such, but certainly every year they're winning the West for the most part and doing that. So what was Alvarez? I think it was his fourth year where he finally did something.
First year in 1990, they went 1-10 and 0-8 in the Big Ten.
Wow.
Second year, they went 5-6 and 2-6 in the Big Ten.
That's a pretty good.
Third year, they went 5-6 and 2-6 in the Big Ten. So your first 3 years are 0-8, 2-6, and 2-6.
Okay.
Then it was that fourth year.
Boom.
They went 10-1-1 and won the Rose Bowl.
Wow. Okay.
But again, fourth year.
Yep. And they've been on fire since.
That's right.
And
more
again,
or less.
And again, maybe. Okay, so let me ask you this. In your heart, if Brett Bielema goes, what was it, 5-6?
5-6, two straight. So now that'd be 5-7.
So if he goes 5-7 the next 2 years.
That'd be three straight 5-7s.
He's obviously still here as a coach.
I would think so, yes.
Would fans start to wonder? Or are they... And this was probably how Wisconsin, it was. Like, Illinois fans are smart. I think we understand that, you know, he's getting out of a hole right now.
Yeah.
The problem is we've seen a lot of coaches try to get out of that hole. They never have.
Right. Plus, the 5-7 lends an easy argument to, well, if that one ref doesn't make that bad call in that game, this could be our third bowl game. So I don't think there's any way he's fired unless something else happens. But I also think you'd have plenty of people by year four whose expectations and confidence were waning.
Yeah.
Because of that. But again, to your point, some of that is probably because the world today has made those fans very well aware of every single thing that Bielema has swung and missed on and everything that he hasn't. And
that's true.
So,
yeah, there again, you've got, yeah.
Snake Island is called Isla de Grande Quimera, which is the Spanish word for snake, I assume.
Okay.
Because there are so many snakes on this island, by some estimates, one snake every 8 square feet.
Wow.
There is competition for resources. Despite a population of 41 recorded bird species on the island, no one is able to observe them.
How would a bird
live? Due to
the
mass quantities of snakes on the ground.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the birds are in the air.
I understand, but man, you make one false move. Like, if you land within a 6-foot radius, you're done. They got to land,
right?
Just
ask how a bird could survive on an island of snakes?
Well, they climb trees, snakes. I mean, they're slithering up trees.
All right.
They don't climb, I guess.
The island was...
Do they climb? Is that considered climbing a tree?
I mean, they slither.
You slither.
The island was previously thought to have a population of 430,000 snakes.
Oh, my Lord.
But recent estimates are lower, almost 300,000.
Ah.
Much better. There's a critically endangered species of snake on the island as well.
Really?
Some believe that it is the only location that that species still exists.
Does
but again,
it say what the snake is?
It doesn't.
Okay.
Red list of threatened species. Oh, it's the Dipsis albifrontis.
Oof, I bet that
a
guy.
A non-venomous snake species.
Oh, I was about to say it could kill you from anywhere, but...
No, but the problem is no one can observe or report whether or not the snake species is still endangered or completely eradicated because no one can get to the island.
Got it. Do you think other snakes are like, man, we need to go to that island sometime? Like, is the garter snake there in Camargo, Illinois going, man, I heard there's an island that is just full of all of our brothers.
Think of like the best vacation spot you could think of.
Right? That's like what Bora Bora.
That's what this is for snakes. You can call me Sal says, snakes versus birds, who you got?
Oh,
I mean birds.
Just
fly away.
Right, exactly. Some birds kill snakes too.
I mean, I'm not saying that if the bird dive bombed into the snakes, they wouldn't be in trouble. I mean, that would be a bad situation. I'm just saying if you can resist the urge to do that, you're never going to die as a bird.
I would just hate that one time where you're like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and head down to that little spot there and see what land feels like.
Like you get clipped by a branch or something. Right. You're done.
Hey, by the way, everybody's texting in. Michigan State didn't fire Saban.
That was my bad.
That was our fault. Yeah. But we understand. I mean, the point was. Right.
There's a documentary, in case you're interested. I'm not sure if it's PBS or what, but if you want to learn more about Snake Island, it's out there.
I want to see that. I might watch that tonight.
I don't know if like David Attenborough narrates it or what's going on there.
Oh, good call.
But
I could do is get on YouTube tonight and either watch John Shire and his first Duke press conference or... learn about Snake Island.
It's called The Deadliest Place on Earth, Snake Island.
Okay.
It's a 60-minute special report.
How do they know it's the deadliest, though?
I don't know.
I mean, how many deaths have actually been on
the
that?
The preview of the video.
Few?
Well, it's probably a predictive thing. Not,
okay.
The preview of the video shows that they're on a boat circling the island. It almost looks like the start of a Jurassic Park movie or something, where they're cautious to land, but they're sort of circling.
YouTube is a dangerous rabbit hole. And one day I was on that. I don't know. I must have been so bored. It was ridiculous. And supposedly there's an island. I don't recall where, but there's still like, what's the term of the people that essentially have never been part of society? Like they are.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's not indigenous, but I know what you're saying.
So in other words, they won't allow anybody to go to the island because you and I are immune to just the common cold.
Sure.
They're not.
Right. It's like a closed society, basically.
And they had a drone that kind of went close to it, and like they were throwing spears at this drone.
I remember this. Yeah. This was like another 60 Minutes type thing.
Yeah. And I guess, I don't know, I read it, unless it's like a wives' tale, like two people in a boat fishing got a little bit too many Bud Lights, and they both passed out, and they drifted onto the island. They'd never seen them again.
Yeah,
right?
How does that work?
I don't know. Well, I mean, you just drink a lot.
Well, not that part.
I
understand how that part works.
Just open another one.
I mean, the fact that they're just closed off on an island and never...
Happy hour.
Oh, ow! Hey, I'm going to have... Hey, Tommy! I'm going to have one more, and then we'll head down that south end of the island. Sounds good. It seems like we're drifting a little close. Is that New Guinea? I don't know. Why does that guy have a spear? I don't know. He's not wearing many clothes. I think we're in trouble. Paddle. I needed a segment like this. I think we've gone too long now for this and that. Can we save it for tomorrow?
Sure, that's fine. I'll end it on a unfortunately more somber note about Snake Island.
Oh, no.
Snake Island is directly off the coast of Ukraine. So they are now worried. I see a headline here that says drone destroys Russian boat off Snake Island. So they're worried that Snake Island may actually be destroyed if Russia continues to bomb Ukraine.
Wow.
Which is just sort of a random connection. It would eradicate the snake problem.
Man.
Maybe they should refocus their efforts to Snake Island.
Yeah.
That might be more helpful.
That's a good point. I didn't realize that. It's amazing how many times you can look at a world map and still not realize where things are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I get where everything is, but it's like I didn't realize, for instance, Brazil was that close to Ukraine. Because isn't that island right off of Brazil?
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess probably at some point in my life, I would have looked at a map and thought, oh, yeah, I guess that is.
there's a, you know, when you type in, you know, like Snake Island, then it suggests things.
Oh, no.
Underneath, like, what is Snake Island? Where is it? The third one says, can you survive on Snake Island?
Ooh.
And it says, it's difficult to even get to the island in the first place, but it is impossible to get out alive.
Okay. Wow.
Thank you, Google.
I mean, there's plenty to eat. There's snakes. Right? If you can somehow get there and warden off about a 20-foot area.
It says there's one guy who, of course, has like a dangerous private tour thing going.
Oh.
Where like he'll fly you low and like maybe you can get out on the beach for a second and then get back in the plane.
That would not be good, though. Well, we're experiencing some engine problems.
Now we're really in Jurassic Park.
Do you want to get eaten by the sharks or do you want to land here and take your chances? That's how Viking, you know, do you ever watch the show Vikings?
No.
What was the dude's name? He was like the most popular or whatever. When they, when he died, they threw him down in a pit with a bunch of poisonous snakes.
Oh.
I was like, that would not be a good way to go.
Indiana Jones style.
Right? Good. You chose poorly.
Well, that was the third one, not the first one, but yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny. All right, so sorry.
Anyways.
Sorry, we kind of went off there. Cardinals and snakes. That's what the show, that's going to be the podcast title. Cardinals and Snakes.
I took your suggestion yesterday and named the first hour of the podcast, Lawn Continues to Be Weird.
Well, part two today. Part two today with Snake Island. I think we have a new thing to do all summer because we don't have a lot to talk about in the summer. I think every day we come with a new island.
Okay.
A new island to explore. We started really bad because you can't even get on this one because you will die. According to that. That's awesome. We got to take a break. Probably getting fired. I'll let you know if I'm back. It's The Drive.
In selling your home with Ryan Dallas Real Estate, nothing is left to chance. This is Ryan Dallas with Ryan Dallas Real Estate. As the most trusted name in local real estate, my team goes above and beyond to get you results. It's what makes our team number one in homes sold and number one in client satisfaction year after year. We outsell the competition and outperform for you. Put your trust in the team that gets proven results, Ryan Dallas Real Estate. Visit us at RyanDallasRE.com.
Hi, this is Chris Jackson with Kramer Siding and Window, and we're proud to be your choice for the 2021 People's Choice Awards for the third year in a row. We want to say thank you by offering buy one, get one, 50% off on all windows. And you can save 10% on roofing, sunrooms, and decks. So call today or visit us at KramerSiding.com. And remember, at Kramer Siding and Window, you have a friend in the business.
Merle Norman has a special skincare treat waiting just for you. Shop now and receive a 4-piece set, perfect for reviving all skin types. Your gift with purchase includes a trial size energizing concentrate, Skintelligent cleanser, toner, and moisturizer. Don't miss out on these hydration heroes. Available now while supplies last at Merle Norman Cosmetics, 1123 Windsor Road. Your gift is free with the purchase of two or more Merle Norman cosmetic products. Cosmetics accessories not included. Offer available now while supplies last at participating Merle Norman Cosmetic Studios. Limit one per customer.
Hey, this is Ben Grice at the Humble Hog in downtown Paxton. And if you haven't been up to Paxton for our barbecue yet, let me tell you, you don't need a reservation. Just come on up. Barbecue with us is about as casual can get. We've got all your favorites. We're talking brisket, pork, amazing smoked turkey, our sausage. And while you're there, be sure to try the Paxton Punch. You can thank me on that later. Check us out online at HumbleHogBBQ.com.
If your engine or transmission isn't running the way it should, and you're not prepared to invest cash in a different vehicle, Long's Garage in Urbana puts miles back into the one you're driving by installing a Jasper remanufactured engine or transmission. Jasper Engines and Transmissions backs their products with a nationwide 3-year, 100,000-mile parts and labor warranty. Call Long's Garage in Urbana at 367-3942 and ask for a Jasper remanufactured product.
PDR Automotive in Urbana is a locally owned repair shop, and they've now serviced over 250,000 vehicles in their near 50-year history. Now, that's more than four times the size of a sold-out Memorial Stadium. It's more than all Division I athletes in the country combined. That's more than the entire population of Champaign County. That's more than, well, you get the idea. When you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Prairie Gardens greenhouses are growing the prettiest annuals and perennials around. Come see them now in all their color and glory. Signature hanging baskets are filling the PG greenhouse skies. And the best geraniums you'll find anywhere are grown right here by our fussy plant experts. This week, 50-count flats of impatiens are only $14.97. And Boston fern hanging baskets and hibiscus bush are only $16.97. Prairie Gardens, locally owned, plant experts. Extraordinary gardening, home decor, framing, and boutique.
Hey, it's Stevie J. I've got a Stever offer for you today from Kelsey Furniture. Kelsey Furniture is in Tuscola, and they sell Tempur-Pedic beds. These are amazing. One of the top-rated mattresses ever. But don't listen to me. Listen to my friend Steve about Tempur-Pedic and what's it like.
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he had a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
If you text me 217-359-2255, text in bed right now, and you have a chance to get $1,000 toward your Tempur-Pedic bed. They start at $3,000, but it's the last bed you'll ever buy. 217-359-2255. If you're interested, text in bed from Kelsey Furniture right now.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at CarpetWeaversFlooring.com.
Jay Layman here, former U of I All-American linebacker. Do you like steak? Do you like red meat? Well, if you do, you got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse. They had phenomenal steaks, sides, salads. I love the onion rings and the fried mushrooms as well as the fried pickles. You've got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Gifford. That's right. Make the trip to Gifford for some of the best steaks you'll have. Kids love it, too. I brought my whole family. I'll see you at Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford.
Stevie J Broadcasting's Law Enforcement Official of the Month, brought to you by Crossroads Contractor Supply.
I am honored to welcome Nick Perrine to our studios. He is my Law Enforcement Official of the Month from the University of Illinois Police Department. Okay, so the best thing about being a University of Illinois Police Department Law Enforcement Official?
The best thing at the U of I has certainly been being a part of the motorcycle unit.
What are the advantages of being a motorcycle police officer?
We're certainly more approachable. The motorcycle really is a great conversation piece, even just as we're stopped at stoplights, but also we can get places that cars just can't. We spend a lot of time riding on the sidewalks and getting in places on campus where a traditional car just can't.
You know, you're the line between civilization and chaos, in my opinion. I mean it. Doing a great job, Nick.
Thank you.
Local guy, too, Arthur, Illinois. We're proud of Nick Perrine, our Law Enforcement Official of the Month from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
Specializing in tools and equipment delivered within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana, visit Crossroads Contractor supplyil.com.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champaign. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champaign is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampaign.com.
Carl works every day to improve the health of community members across the region, and it would not be possible without team members like Sierra Poole, phlebotomy lab lead at Carl Foundation Hospital.
I get excited to come to work every day because it allows me to improve my skill every day, becoming better at the job so we can give better patient care to the patients that come in to get their blood drawn.
If you're looking for an opportunity to serve your community like Sierra, visit carl.org/careers.
Racing. Farmer City Raceway is your local award-winning dirt track with exciting Friday night lights illuminating the late models and modifieds going for the checkered flag for the win. Make arrangements to get in on the camping with great price points for pit passes and young fans as well as veterans. Friday nights, the hot laps start at 6:30, then qualifying and racing action. Don't miss out on the fun at Farmer City Raceway. For details, visit farmercityracing.com. You'll buy the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Okay. Well, the this and that thing will be good tomorrow. What do we have tomorrow? Chris Block tomorrow to talk Kentucky Derby on Saturday. That's crazy how the Derby just, like the Masters, they always advertise it so much you know it's coming. And you pretty much understand when baseball opening day is and this and that. March Madness. But the Kentucky Derby to me is like, hey, by the way, the Derby's this Saturday. I'm like, it is? So I guess I obviously don't follow horse racing that often.
It's something I super pretend to care about for those 2 hours.
Yeah.
And like I tune in at 5 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
and they're showing everybody, and Mike Tirico says, well, of course, that's so-and-so. And then,
yeah.
So in 20 minutes, I'm then turning to someone else and going, well, you see, that's so-and-so, as if I know anything about what's going on.
See, that's a beautiful horse right there.
And by 5:50, I'm moving on to something else.
I think every year when I watch those, I'm always like, I think horses are the most beautiful animal. They truly are. They're majestic.
I just think it's always funny when, like, they show the winning horse.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know he won.
He care less, right?
he's just there.
Give me some oats. All right, got to thank Jack Keffer. He, in about less than an hour, is going to be calling Memphis Redbirds baseball Matthew Liberatore and his best friend Nolan Gorman both in the lineup tonight. So that was great to visit with Jack Keffer on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. Also, Jeff Jones on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line talking Cardinals. We've got a couple of people saying, wait, Ukraine's in Europe, Brazil's in South America. You guys gone off the rails. And then Evan's like, not sure I'd say they're right next to each other.
They're not.
I mean, you kind of understand what we're saying.
And Sal did point out not all birds fly.
That's true.
If you're saying penguin versus venomous snake, who you got? I think I'll take the snake.
And it's a good point. What do snakes eat to maintain that population? Well, they're down 100,000.
That's right.
So that's what they've eaten.
They don't.
The 100,000 that are now gone. All right, we'll see everybody tomorrow. Back with more chivalry. Is that right, Ward?
I don't think it is.
Chivalry. I don't know. I'm out. It's the drive.